Hey guys, it's Ben. So as we said before, this is the second part of our very long episode with Evan Dixon. But just to give you a heads up, there is a sort of jarring edit at one point because the thing that we always feared finally happened. Evan brought an idea that once we started talking about it became so good that we thought it might be useful in real life. So we cut it out because the three of us thought maybe we'd pitch it one day. So that got cut out, but somewhere in the middle of the discussion of that idea was this part where we're talking about how awesome Philip Seymour Hoffman is, and I wanted to keep that, so there's a bit that you'll hear where it sort of jumps into us talking about him, and then it goes back into normal stuff. So otherwise, I think it's a fun episode. I think you'll enjoy it. Thanks again to Zach Smola for the music, and thanks to you guys for listening. All right.
Demon water molecules.
Can't get, someone who can't get near the water.
Yeah. Oh, they're allergic to water. There are people that are allergic to water.
H2O, let's go with it. H2O.
And then the ghost of Brad, like...
Oh, you want to go...
We can do both. Yeah, we can bake one, you know.
Should we...
By the way, we can go H2O, because I do have just a quick thing about oxygen that it may not...
Which I want to hear about.
Yeah, but let's do H2O. Or Brad.
No. H2O. Yeah. Let's do that and see where it
lands. So there is a weird phenomenon where people are allergic to water and they have
what does that mean?
I think you break out in hives.
Yeah.
And so it's not.
If it touches your skin.
Yeah.
So it's not, you can drink it. It's not like it's soft tissue in your throat still.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I think it's the one that I read about was an exterior reaction to the surface of the skin. So it's like they kind of just wipe with a. Solution. There's just a horror movie in itself. No, go, Evan.
No. Sorry.
Oh, I don't really know. This was part of our brainstorming titles.
I'm just still fascinated, but wait, so like...
But you just could also have molecules of water that are just like...
Act 3 is a rainstorm, you know, like...
It's killer water. You can picture the what's the company that released Uncle Sam and there's the holographic covers? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, like the lenticular things on.
Yeah, they did the Jack Frost Killer Snowman.
Oh my god!
Uncle Sam, Uncle Sam movie.
I never heard of
a raindrop.
I never heard of
logo in it, and it's like I don't know, the rain's gonna, I don't know what it would say, a hard rain's gonna come or like, you know, something like that.
Well, it could also
It's been a hard rains night.
It'd be interesting if the protagonist was sort of also emotionally thirsty and was on a lot of social media. You could sort of mirror her physical ailment with her internal impairment. You know, she's like,
swiping right on all the guys.
I felt thirsty in my body my whole life or in my soul. And now I know what it feels like to be thirsty in my body. You know, like the whole things marry each other. And eventually you get down to the point where she realizes, or, you know, that the body is like 66% water. And so he's trying to get it down to where he's basically jerky, you know? Like he's like,
so this is like a body horror, like in my skin or whatever, like one of the fucked up, like somebody that's struggling with their thing. And
we could call it 33% because that's about how much of his body weight he'd retain after losing all the water, you know?
And it's the only, that's the margin of vote you need to be president.
Apparently.
Yeah,
well, I mean, we took care of all that.
So then the water jerky man runs for president. And in the sequel,
he gets 33%.
Wait a minute. This actually fucking works. I mean, this actually, it lines up. I feel like it's already happened.
Yeah.
I mean, he's wet.
It went the other direction. It went 66% bloated.
Well, so here's what happens. It's like at the end of H2O, Jerky Man is left in a fucking bowl of water. And it's a nightmare. He doesn't have bones, really.
Yeah, it's a Jerky Man, too.
They've long ago crumbled in the dust. So, but it reinflates him, you know? And now he's back at 100% body weight. And he looks like Donald Trump. And he's only got... 24 hours to lose all of his water weight throughout the day. So it's like Brewster's Millions, but with water. You know, you do that and you get to lose all the water weight in your body. So instead of Brewster trying to spend $30 million, he's like, I cannot drink anything. I have to run constantly.
Yeah.
I have to pee as much as possible. I have to inject apple cider vinegar.
And, nice.
You know, like
vomit.
And he's like trying to get bound back down to no water weight.
It's crying scene.
Oh, well, that's at the end of Act Two is the whole sobbing thing. And he's like, shit. Like now. He's like, now I want to live because it's beginning of Act Three. Now I don't want to lose all this water, but I can't stop crying. So it's a big problem.
Frank, where he has to keep coming up with ways. He's like vomiting. He's like jacking off. He's like pissing.
Exactly. No. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But at Act Three, then we make it about the tears. You know.
Yeah. Like, no, that's the last.
He's like, he gets a reason to live. He starts drinking water again, but then he's crying so much that he's in danger of still losing it all because there's salt in there too, and that takes up more water. I think that's our movie right there.
Wow. Such a good movie. I was trying to, I was just doing.
Time. Sorry.
Like, no. I was saying H2NO, and then it was like H2. And then I was trying to come up with like, what would the second part be?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. Like, I mean, if it was Obama and not Trump, we would do like H2.
I'm not doing it.
No. Stop. No, I thought it was okay. No. We can.
We're kind of save Kate.
No, I was about to say H2. Oh my God, this is so bad. Like, you know when you walk into a trap and then you don't realize you're in it and then you realize you are and then you can't get out. Let's just cut off.
Like, we all like water.
No.
That's all right.
H2.
Don't be ashamed of liking water. It's fine. We should keep all that in. That's all good stuff.
It's terrible. Because I literally had.
I want you to use my pitch with the crying.
No, H2. Instead of H2, no, it was H2. Yes, we can.
Oh, would be the sequel.
Yes. Okay, that was what I was thinking, and then that really got bad.
So what's happening though? Okay, hard reset.
No.
Instead of H2NO, what is it?
No, I'm saying so. There's the version where the first movie is Jerky Man, and then the second movie is the Trump one you pitched. But then I'm just saying, I was just going on titles. I was writing titles.
You want the sequel to be an advancement on the thing?
Yes.
No. I'm just saying. I don't know what the H2 MAGA doesn't work as well as H2. Yes. We can.
Yeah, because it's
That's why I would. That's where there we go. With, you know, God. And then that snuck in there.
It didn't go anywhere. It didn't go south at all. So, what's
because I just was riffing on. This is all from a title thing, which I guess is what Cahoots is all about.
Yeah, that's
what
we're I will say, gosh, I saw On the Basis of Sex over the break.
I watched that too.
And so I you know, I went with my parents, and it was Santa Fe.
Oh, we were texting about that.
Yeah, and there was. Like, I feel like my stepmom wanted to pull a knife on me after the movie, because she thought it was like the best movie ever.
Interesting.
And she was like, "Listen, this is just proof that men run everything in Hollywood." But you know, we're trying to get away from that. But because it wasn't nominated for an Oscar, and my whole counter was like just
subjective.
You know what? We're just not going to do this. We're not going to get into my opinion on Ruth Bader. But by the way, love the woman, love the, you know, the whole vibe, but it's a TV movie, you know, so.
Yeah, I thought the actors were good.
Yeah, they were good, but it's not like I would nominate it for Best Picture.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
But we are definitely leaving this one out, this part.
So where were we last? What do we do now?
Well, I mean, so the... well, no. Do we have any other H2NO movie ideas? We did the kind of corner. Well, the hologram cover version.
I'm just picturing it as like a bad horror thing where there's like so many sequels that they keep doing puns on the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so like if
it's
like,
just presidents, but then you run out of.
Well, it's like you just start doing like because like with anything like when this one's they've made like five of them. You're just like you're finding ways to just kind of do something totally different and tie in the brand thing. And so, like, I don't know. I was trying to come up with other puns that would do that. Like, H2Ho was like, it's like.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I know.
You know, if it's a guy, the first two ones, like, this time, whatever.
No, that's great. And she's like super sassy.
Yeah. I kind of was wanting you to say the ho part, so I didn't have to say it. But
H2Bro.
Whoa, that's kind of even funnier. Yeah. And then they could have like a tie-in sequel with both H2O and H2Bro together.
And they'll learn their lesson that maybe they should actually care about people instead of judging them from the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's obviously a football player and she's obviously a cheerleader or something.
H2Bro is pretty funny.
H2Mo, this will be a collab with Simpsons, so it'll be Mo Sizzlak.
H2Mo.
Serving up Duff beer.
Could you also do one about a deer called H2Doe, about a female deer?
Oh, nice.
It's made of water, and she's like, look, I'm in the Texas Hill Country. I gotta get the fuck out of here, you know?
Here's the thing is, I think these movies would actually be super successful if you could make it like Sharknado, because people would just be like, what is the next?
I picture H2Doe as achingly romantic, kind of like The Last Unicorn, you know?
Oh my God, The Last Unicorn is so good.
Oh my God, that's a good movie.
Evan, I love that you know The Last Unicorn.
Oh, I love that movie. Are you kidding me?
So good.
Oh my God, that fucking bowl.
So good.
Something else.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm...
H2 Flow, which could either be
like a rap one,
or it could be Flow from those insurance ads. If she needs to make some more money.
H2 Flow. Well, she's not. I mean, she's still.
Or a urologist.
I was just gonna cajole you into that through facial expressions.
Yep. You did. You got that out of me. No, I think we have a really beautiful franchise in our hands. It's like we're up to double digits, right?
It's like what's
H2 Flow is someone who can't pee and they're going everywhere. They're like standing by waterfalls.
It's a horror movie about not being able to pee. Yeah.
Oh man.
And
just recognizing it's gonna be a little different from now on.
Yeah.
H2
Flow. The antagonist is like the ocean god named Max. Flow Max, that's bad.
I mean, another H2No movie is like.
I like that the first one's called H2No and not just H2O. Like, it's like that. It's like it starts with a pun on a thing, and then they just keep doing.
Yeah.
No, what's the movie that's where two people get stranded, they're like scuba diving or something, they get stranded. Open water, right?
Yeah.
That could be the sequel to that. Could be H2No. It's just about like just continuing to come into contact with water and being like, I don't think
I'm not going to. I was attacked by a shark last time.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore. Yeah.
It's like the end of Roma, but she just like stays on the beach. She's not going after those kids.
H2No.
Okay, should we go next idea title? I mean, H2Blow and next.
H2Blow? Is that like the cocaine one or is that?
You know,
you didn't finish your sentence, Ben. I'm not sure what you were gonna say.
No, there's no further need to demonize cocaine. I don't think.
You know, guys, cocaine gets a bad rap.
Yeah.
You know.
This is not funded by the cocaine lobby.
That's our first sponsored ad on the podcast.
Sponsored by the cocaine lobby.
Yeah, we get like the ad reads. I'm not going to. Guys, I was thinking the other day, you know what gets a bad rap?
Let's take the current marijuana situation. You could do a movie called White Line between the states with cocaine and the states without cocaine. You make it a divided nation movie.
Oh.
If cocaine is recreationally available in dispensaries, you know, the line would move faster in all of them. You'd get in and out very quickly. And there's a whole basically a north and south situation. So the north doesn't do cocaine and they want to attack you, but you have the total clear advantage. Because you're all coked up. So
you're also just describing like race relations and civil war, but I think.
What? No.
The north.
You're not going to flip this shit on
cocaine.
Me and make this about. No, no.
The white line is what you just called this for.
The white line is about the divide.
It's about.
I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to back me into another pitch that we got to delete.
I almost said the N word and didn't know that I almost said it.
I'm gonna stop you there and actually say that
I don't think we should be ashamed of this pitch. I think we're
saying that there actually is like I mean, obviously, like, I think that marijuana should be legal everywhere. Like, I don't really, you know, like, personally, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
So it's not like I think that we need to, like, satirize the current, like, ridiculous. I think, whatever. All this to say.
No, listen. No, don't take it too personally. I mean,
no, no. Yeah. I'm prefacing for my own self to say that I actually think it would be a funny idea to make a movie where you just express, like, an alternate version of our present day where just, I mean, in theory, for comedic purposes, it's not marijuana that is currently being discussed in terms of its legality in certain states and not others, and it's just cocaine instead.
Yeah, sure.
That's
no,
it's
a funny movie.
It's like,
yeah,
I would actually like to see, and I'm not, and like, I've seen people online, like, there is, I mean, it's a very libertarian thing to say, oh, well, you know, all drugs should be legal, which is obviously, like, kind of ridiculous, but, like, I've heard people say that, like, cocaine specifically should be legalized. Like, it's kind of like the next level of internet person beyond the legalized weed people are the legalized cocaine people.
Yeah.
So I think there are probably legitimate arguments, but it is interesting to see me how, like, growing up in, like, the South and, like, you know, going to the DARE program and stuff like that, like, the idea of, like, weed being as bad as anything else was just what you're raised on. And then you get to where we are now, where the cultural conversation is surrounding the idea that, like, oh no, look at all the medicinal purposes of it.
Yeah.
And oh, it's really good for this. And would you rather be hooked on prescription pills for your anxiety or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we get all these kind of, like, there's a bunch of, like, it's turned positive. It's like a natural thing. And it's, oh, you know, like, you give it to your dog.
It's still different though.
Yeah. But I'm saying, imagine a world where that didn't happen for weed and it happened for cocaine instead. And it just would be funny to see something.
Well, in high school, you know, it's funny because when everybody started trying weed, like, everyone realized that because, like you were saying, it was placed on the same sort of, you know, parents communicating this to their kids. It was, like, in the same class, you know, like, oh, don't do this. They're all evil as fuck, you know.
Schedule one. That's a Nixon thing.
Yeah. So, well, back to Tricky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this, you know, I think that once kids started smoking weed and realized, okay, that's innocuous, then all of a sudden, all of the sort of reasonable arguments about not doing cocaine and other shit, which is, you know, it'll kill you. And
you can OD.
Yeah, like, it's a bad...
It can kill you.
You know, it's a...
My dad had a friend
it's
that...
It's like the not... I mean, you know what I mean? It's not the most pleasant way to live your life. Just
My dad had a friend... Yeah. So my dad's, you know, 70, and he had a friend that just dropped dead.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like 10... Well, it was 10 years ago, but hadn't done... You know, it was like late 50s, had not done cocaine in years. You know, ran into some old friends, handed him a baggie, was like... You know, for old time's sake, kind of thing. And the guy's just an old guy. Yeah. You know, you're almost 60 years old. He dropped dead.
I remember you telling me that story while the coffee was brewing in the kitchen
The
job. And we were like, because we were just like telling, I don't know why we were all telling drug stories or something.
Crazy.
And you were like, yeah, my dad did that. You were telling the story. And you're like, and he died. And I was like,
we were trying to come up with aberrant behavior stories for character name redacted. Yeah. And
No, but it's funny that you say all that because, like, my dad was like, smoke pot, it's not going to do anything to you. Don't do any of the other stuff.
Yes,
like that.
Yeah.
And he was, that was,
it's a good, that's a good parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Style.
Yeah. I could make a horror movie about the guy who's talked about acid too much in front of, like, people who've never done it. I almost called 25, you know, LSD 25. I was at a drinks meeting, or not, just a people hanging out, like my friends who are writers and, you know, there are significant others, and somehow we got on the topic. Someone's like, oh, tell about these times that you were constantly tripping. And there were two people sitting directly across from me who had obviously never done it, and just watching them watch me, I was like, oh man, you know, I really feel like, before, when I was talking about this, I was relaying sort of something that was just kind of, you know, funny to me, but also, you know, had influenced who I am, and I stopped it when I was 18 and whatever. And just walk, I was like, no, most people think I'm from outer fucking space when I tell this story or talk like this.
It's pretty crazy stories. We're not going to, like, go into them here, but.
No, sure. That's all right.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
No, but it's.
So another movie where acid becomes, which was at the time, back when, like, that was a big thing, there were a lot of people, like, was it, there's a whole movement, like, of hippies in Germany that wanted to, like, use acid in like elementary schools or something like that.
Well,
like
they use it now for psychological or like the therapeutic purposes in either Sweden or Switzerland or something like that, you know?
Wow. Yeah, but yeah. So like a whole movie where like same with the weed thing where it's yeah. just like, yeah, it's just LSD that becomes the...
And there was an argument for ecstasy too for that, Molly, right?
Ben keeps trying to bring us back around to the line through the yeah. country. He's like, listen, let's talk about the fucking movie, well, right?
I just yeah. think it's funny. I just think it's a funny
No, movie. I like it. So White Line in a weird way could be like, snapping back into it, could be kind of like a... Yeah, like that, but then you have a Red Dawn element, you know? Like, these sure. kids are hiding out in the mountains fighting against the cartels, you know? It's like the Red Dawn kids yeah. from Iowa or wherever they're from. And, you know, there's mutiny, betrayal. Like, Red Dawn has that scene where that kid goes missing and he comes back. They think he's a traitor and they fucking shoot him. You know, like...
I've actually never seen Red Dawn.
Oh, my... No,
man. Well, no, maybe I have. It's just been a long time. I don't know.
John Milius wrote Red Dawn right at the time that... Man,
and is it? Does the audience know that he is not?
Oh no, he is a traitor. Okay, yeah. So you're supposed to be like, yes, they shot him. That's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, because John Milius.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very he loves his military and all that. Yeah.
He's a big tactical fan of tactical shit.
We have, like, there's Ben and I listen to a podcast, but one of the jokes, the ongoing jokes, like with people who, you know, just worship the military and everything, is like, everything's tactical. So sure. like, oh, yeah. everything from like, I'm going to pick up this tactical glass. And like,
but the thing is, you can,
tactical shoes.
You can go online, you could search.
You live your life importance in every way just yeah. by like saying tactical.
No, I mean, honestly, like it'd be, I do it sometimes when I'm bored during the day where I'll just think of something and search the word tactical with it.
Yeah.
And stuff. Cause like, you remember when that, the whole, when Scott Pruitt got fired from the EPA because of all of this stuff and they were like, oh, he spent $6,000 on tactical pants.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like, what the fuck? Oh, of course there's tactical pants. They have zippers and they have pockets and they...
No, I
they're made of Kevlar or something. I don't know.
I saw an online ad the other day for a pair of pants. It was like a thing on Pitchfork, the music site. And it was just, it had the most epic looking cargo pants with like, you know, buttons and zippers and everything all over them. And it just said the CIA of pants. Forbes magazine.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. The CIA of pants.
Yeah. It was a great, I mean, like, look, I don't know what kind of pants they are, but I remember the line.
CIA.
And if I ever wanted to sort of figure out what pants those were.
So
I could
tactical pants, what's yeah. the movie?
It's the CIA of pants.
Is this Phantom Thread, but with tactical pants?
Yeah, tactical pants.
I can't.
I see, man, who is the new David Spade? I think we should put him in tactical pants.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, like.
Kyle Mooney, maybe?
Oh, sure, yeah. Kyle Mooney in tactical pants. Is it like a thing where he gets like a pair of pants that make you into a super soldier, but he doesn't... It's like he goes to the dry cleaners...
You know, Kyle Mooney, he was SNL, like glasses, kind of like nerdy.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, so, yeah.
Yeah, like so it's like he goes to the dry cleaner and he gets the wrong pants, and they're tactical pants that turn you into like Jean-Claude Van Damme or
yeah.
something.
And so or whoever soul
so it's a,
the
it's
pants
like a wish,
belong to.
Is it a wish fulfillment like kind of thing where...
Yeah, like he's like a dorky guy that gets a pair of pants that make him into give him the kickboxing skills of like Bloodsport era Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, it's like you put on
tactical pants.
Well, Austin, yeah, look, you put on different pants the other day.
I'm going to tactically ascertain these pants.
So yeah, like, yeah, you got your walking pants, you got your school pants, you know, you got your CIA pants, you got your shorts, yeah, yeah.
And of course, there's a scene where he... bends down like this and zips them and the bottoms fall off and they yeah. turn into tactical shorts.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But all in slow motion with like a explosion behind him. Sort of like Tropic Thunder, you know, Ben Stiller style.
Yeah.
He ends the movie with that was tactical.
He's able to do rolls and kicks and like, yeah, all the stuff that you, the tactical shit that you would have if you had magic pants.
Like, yeah.
I got tacked.
Yeah.
Tactical pants.
There you go. And he beats his boss up.
Yeah,
yeah, because his boss is like, you're uncouth, and he's like, you know what? I have a lot of tactical pants.
What was the one we were talking about right before this?
I don't know.
The pitch. What was it? Because I think the movie before this would make a good tie-in with tactical. Oh, know what? It's listen. Here's how you get to the crossover.
Love it.
Eventually, so you have tactical pants. It's your typical John Cryer movie.
The John Cryer movie?
Yeah, well, you know, in the 80s.
16 Candles?
Yeah, well, you know how... No, well, you could also... Remember that movie where John Cryer, like, was 4 years older than he was in 16 Candles, but he played like a yuppie stockbroker, and he had like this really fancy stereo, and it's like, wait a minute, he doesn't have a beard. And then like they kill his roommate, and then he has to go into hiding and go to high school, and he shaves, and he's John Cryer, you know.
No, I don't.
It's sort of like, you know how Richard Grieco did Looks Could Kill or whatever? This is John Cryer's version of that. Yeah. This happened. But
oh God, I'm already thinking of all the really objectionable content that probably is in that movie.
Well, I'm sure, yeah, he probably has sex in the
that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Happens, I mean, yeah. Look. We could get on 80s movies. So Tactical Pants 2 is a step up from that. And
wait, you were tying together a previous pitch.
I'm building to
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha.
So you consider that the sort of initial Tactical Pants IP, right? The Tactical Pants IP. So like this is your existing base. You had these two Tactical Pants movies in the 80s, you know? And so when it comes,
you need a base of 33%.
You need a base. You know, you can't do the same thing again.
They live on a base.
Oh yeah. Well, as much as people on Reddit want you to do Tactical Pants 1 all over again,
no, you can't.
The world has changed. So you do Sisterhood of
Tactical Pants.
The Tactical Pants. Right.
Well, that's the episode title already. I've got Sisterhood of the Tactical Pants.
I have Sisterhood of the Social Pants, Socialist Pants, and we do this long tilt up, and we go up the Tactical Pants, and when we get to the top, we realize that it's Bernie Sanders.
Yep, there you go.
No.
Sisterhood of the Socialist Pants.
That's good. I mean, Bernie Sanders.
Is the most charismatic actor of our time.
You know, he's making an appearance in Sisterhood of the Tactical Pants, the Socialist Pants.
Socialist Pants.
No, so I mean, this is again.
By the way,
we're getting back into age. I'm just two. Like, no, don't.
I'm an exec. I'm an exec doing my job. I'm interrogating the material.
We didn't do H2 Crow.
But I honestly think the tactical Bernie version of the pants thing is good. Like, look,
we're trying to just cut our different niches out. You know?
I really thought that having another person would like. I didn't know that it would make us more inane.
Like, sorry.
No, I'm just fascinated with.
I think this is so great.
Structure of this conversation and like just like yeah, it's incredible.
Well, the way we should contextualize this episode, because I honestly think it should flow nonstop, minus 5 or so minutes at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like when George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, and what's his face broke
the shitty one, me,
broke Indiana Jones, and there's the tape of that in the room. This is us doing that. This is a long storied thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I love
you.
It.
Mean Lawrence Kasdan.
Yes, Lawrence Kasdan.
I didn't know the name of it. So
oh my God, I have the best Lawrence Kasdan story.
You probably can't tell it.
I don't know. I think it'd be educationally valuable. I probably can't tell. Yeah. No. Well, by the way, he's awesome. It's not.
No, he's also,
this is not anti Lawrence Kasdan, but I can't tell it. No.
Okay. No, that's fine. Yeah. I met William Goldman in the airport.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you after. It's fun. It's. I applaud it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I've heard he's just like a wacky guy, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
Wait, okay. So wait, Tactical Pants. Yeah. Do we have more to say about pants in general?
Tactical pants.
Waterproof
pants. You take them on, you take them off, you put stuff in their pockets. What else do you do with pants? I think of the possibilities.
This is
Evan pitching the movie. Better. He's like, look, we all know about pants.
You take them off one leg at a time.
Yeah.
The fucking thing is boring, right? What if your pants were tactical, right? This isn't part
here
of.
Go, here we go.
This is part of our thing, right?
Evan always does voices when he pitches.
That's why you have to start in pitching because you always come in character and you do like a shitty Jack Nicholson.
I may pitch supernatural ghost movies or write them that end up being cast by
but do you do it
fairly vanilla, but I pitch everything in borscht belt. Yeah, like it's like, listen, in total, like a maximum of 50,000 people are gonna see this movie, but she's been wanting to fuck the dad the whole time and the ghost mom is trying to stop it. And it's a story about a girl who wants to have sex with her dad and the ghost that gets in the way. That's what it is. I'm sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, It's me, Bernie Sanders.
Oh my God. A bird just landed on the pitch fucking microphone. That's a blue
shit
bird.
On it.
No,
it
would, remember it the blue really bird funny. Under his belly?
Yeah, it would be sorry. Really funny if
had glasses.
You, if you
I don't
actually,
know how I went on that. I'm so sorry about that.
No, I'm saying it would be really funny if for the past however many years that you've been pitching movies as a screenwriter, if somebody, it's like one of those things like where like there's a bunch of fake stories of like Stanley Kubrick like hazing people. Yeah. And I think they're fake. I think it's, they're like Bill Murray stories, and I think they're real. But like the idea of like a sort of upperclassman kind of like hazing an underclassman, as it were, like, and so like at one point, like you, like, you know, it's like you many years ago, you were like at a urinal on the Sony lot next to like Eric Heiserer or something, and he's like, you know, he's like, you pitching today, and you're like, yeah, and he's like, it's your first time.
I'm going
and you're
in like, 15 minutes before you.
he's like, well, you know the trick to pitching, right? And you're like, no, please tell me. And
come with me. And he touches the tile, and then the door opens. And
no, he's like, always do a character. Yeah. He's like, whatever you do, don't do your own voice. Come in with a character. And so you're like, oh my God.
Have you been to the Catskills?
And so
the Finger Lakes.
So for the past several years, you've been going into every one of your pitches in a goofy character voice, and it's like, and your therapist, meanwhile, has been not telling you that this is why you haven't been booking jobs.
Wait, can I tell you?
He's like, listen, leave Valachi on the table in the picture room. You're not him. You're not him right now, Evan. You're you.
But just the idea that no one ever told you shouldn't do that.
There is a really funny, I love 30 Rock. And they did, there's a point in the show. Did you watch 30 Rock, Evan?
I did. Werewolf, Bomb.
No, not all of it. No.
The Aaron Sorkin episode?
That had to be after he quit Studio 60 because they all came out at the same time.
Yeah.
I think on this podcast. This is Four Quadrant. Yeah.
There was an episode where she thinks their show might get canceled. It's the first time. So they're in hiatus and she's starting to freak out and she's like, oh no, I need to go up for other shows and jobs. And so she goes into an interview, walks in, and there's like, you know, it's like waiting room area, a couple chairs, a coffee table. And she sits down and the real Aaron Sorkin was on the show.
Yeah.
She like, it goes wide and he's sitting like next to her and he's like, are you nervous about this? Do you think you're going to get it? Like, and she's like, I don't know. Like I just had this one show. And he's like, come on, let me do the walk and talk. So they do the whole walk and talk and thing.
Right.
And then basically he's like, writing's dead. It's all dead. He's like, and then like, he literally walks in the room and you can see him in profile, like just from the angle they're shooting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I love Nick Lachey or something. Yeah.
So it's him like psyching her out, and then he goes and like gets the job.
I think that was the beat of it. It was really funny.
And that's I love the idea of somebody trying to sabotage you as a fresh faced young screenwriter.
Yeah,
and that you've been doing Jack Nicholson voices and Borscht Belt comedian voices every single pitch. And I'll be like, what the fuck is wrong with Evan? He didn't talk like that 5 minutes ago.
And then we can't, like, he won't ever be in a room with us if, like, another, like, executive is in there. And he's just like, Ben, I'm going to need you to leave the room. Yeah. It's like his thing. Yeah.
Now that Ben is in the toilet, let me tell you. My wife left me last week. Oh, what a broad.
The Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah.
Sorry. Why is this coming out of me? I don't ever behave like this ever.
This is like the cahoots.
Okay, so my oxygen pitch.
Yeah, you got it.
I brought up, we were trying to brainstorm some titles.
Well, that's the sequel. It's O2No.
O2No. Well, that's true. No, you're right.
Sorry.
Well, no, because we were thinking about different things that were horror, like maybe. Sounded like they could be horror, but then also would be maybe lend themselves to funny comedic things or something else.
We didn't plan for all this, but this was one that we did talk about.
Yeah, well, no, so not like the last hour and a half, but just the idea that there's like these oxygen bars in Vegas and that you can overdose on oxygen.
Okay, yeah.
So like, I just think there's a version, because apparently it makes you like, you get really dizzy if you have too much oxygen in your blood, and like you, so there's almost like a trippy sort of like somebody who think again, like I'm just tonight, I'm all in the, like, you think you're going crazy. Are you, or aren't you? So there is like a psychological horror movie where a guy's just like, yeah, you go to the oxygen bar cause you're drunk. And he's like there with his friends. And, but then, he goes and does the O2. He feels really great. And then it's like he starts seeing shit. Mm-hmm. And then it could be a horror movie. I don't know. Like a demon, you know, some.
Or like a thing where like a stalker kind of movie where like somebody thinks they're going crazy, but it turns out that they have like a crazy stalker who's been like pumping too much oxygen into their environment and slowly killing them and driving them insane.
What's the Hitchcock movie that sort of invented gaslighting, right? Where they're talking.
Oh yeah. Well, it's called Gaslight, right?
Oh yeah. Okay. So yeah. Maybe cut that 30 seconds out. You can leave that in.
I have another really funny.
Well, just by raising the oxygen level, you're creating that sense of euphoria. You know, you could I don't know. I think there's a thing to do there. There's like a hour and a half kind of, you know, elevator movie in there, like, or chamber movie, you know, where like you have to fight your way out, but you're getting more and more placated, you know, you want to gamble more and more, you know,
which is, I mean, I thought like in terms of tone, not the actual beats, but, like 10 Cloverfield, how you're like, contained. You think like at times John Goodman's good, times he's bad, but you replace John Goodman with like the dealer at the craft table and or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so like you keep going back and you're like, you think he's on your side, then he isn't, then he is. Uh-huh. You're like trying to
he's pumping more and more oxygen. It's like
wait, is this The Happening?
No,
I didn't see that ever really. I know that there was an oxygen issue in that, or a plant issue.
Wait,
in that
movie. No, that's different. That's like as though the environment is like releasing some sort of toxin as a self-protective thing because we're destroying the planet.
Got it.
Like that. That like it's a defense mechanism that the planet has to make humans want to kill themselves.
Got it.
So the thing, and so this would be, I'm picturing it more like an H.H. Holmes type of thing where somebody
is
like controlling the environment and almost in like a, or like, I mean, I never saw The Human Centipede, but like the idea that it's like a Nazi doctor guy that's like doing some weird shit.
The H.H. Holmes thing is great. Like it's, you know, you want like a little bit of period, but a little bit of sort of 30s class and panache to the mm-hmm. whole, like, listen, it's just a lot of oxygen. You know, like you're in a room, it's,
Yeah, because there was like, I saw that the new Gaspar Noé movie where it's literally just people dancing, but they've been spiked with like LSD and they don't know it.
Oh,
it's
God.
Like, yeah, this
I'm
is like,
no, I will never watch that.
Probably. Oh, no, you should.
I love him, but
Oh, you should totally watch it. It's not hallucinogenic. Like, they don't go inside the visions. Yeah. It's all sort of captured as, it's cool. It's different.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, but like that, like it's like a bunch of people that are being fed too much oxygen and they don't know it and it is driving them insane and killing them, but like somebody's watching and sort of being amused by this. Or
well, and I your point about like putting it in the 30s or just that pizzazz and thinking of like Fitzgerald and the sort of like decadence of that era, the Gilded Age, and like it could even, and also having like a mad doctor behind the scenes, it's like you orchestrate this whole thing, so it's like a high rollers table, so it isn't just more. I love this. Is less, the beauty of cahoots mm-hmm. is like starts as like some bros in Vegas and but then turns into the, so it's like it actually is a whole orchestrated thing, and it's like 1930s, everyone's in tails, show up, you're like a high roller there, and then that's really cool.
That's a weird like contained, I guess, you would call it a horror movie or like a psychological thriller or something like that.
Because they can also just like start doing really horror shit, right? I mean,
is they're going crazy and stuff too. Yeah.
Well, you also like, if you want to match your sort of character arc with the thematic sort of thrust, you make it about this person who is just hungry to be free, you know? So like, you know, oxygen represents their breakthrough to sort of break out of the rut and to get into their best life, you know? So you have this person who is fighting to sort of maybe get out of their office job and into the open air and into a rolling hillside where they can have a private office, which is maybe a little bit psychedelic for this, but
no, I love
you
like,
also have,
no, but you have that, you have like, you have the, like the bus boy at the, if, I mean, I still have this in the 30s now, it's like, or something that's kind of cool and fun and period and glitzy, but like, the butler bus boy character is somebody who's doing this by night, and during the day they have their day job. And so like,
Greek chorus guy, kind of.
He wins in the end. Like, he's, last man standing.
Yeah.
And survives, or like, Is it called, so it's called Oxygen, or do we?
I think so.
I mean, that was the jumping off point, but the idea that, I guess, to me, the whole, I'm always fascinated by things that actually have some sort of scientific backup that, to me, like, makes me dig in harder. So, like, that was why I was like, well, maybe, like, oxygen, the fact that it can make you, like, essentially, I don't know if you hallucinate necessarily, but you definitely get dizzy. I think
it gets you high. I mean, that's
a little bit of euphoria, I think, if you get oxygen, what it toxicity.
But you can actually like called, yeah. it will kill you. Just like
it's
a good idea. A horror movie where the weapon is oxygen.
Yeah. And you are particularly adroit at pulling real world scientific stuff out for these scenarios. Like you come up with like the immediate sort of good backup, like on how this stuff could be implemented.
Well, thank you.
It's a good quality to have in a pitch partner.
It is. She's good at this stuff.
I dig really hard at, I love history. Actually, it's funny. I had a meeting last week and he's like, do you have a degree in science?
I feel like in the room of Show Redacted, like there was so much stuff that you you just really like you had a theory, and not only did you have a theory that was dramatically resonant for the story, but you had something that was backed up by like firm science. It was like, okay, well, fuck yeah, that's
Or some like some example in
One of your many friends that got referenced.
God. Well, thank you.
Wow, there you go.
Thank you.
No, it's true.
Now we keep talking about it. Whatever.
It's good stuff.
Wait, do we have another title you want to riff on, or how are we in time?
I mean, we could if we wanted to do more, we could either just keep doing it and then split it into two later, or we can. I mean, we're at 85 minutes now. So we could basically like just kind of keep going, and then I can put a cut point at some point and just add an intro to the second episode or something that's like...
Yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman could throw his fucking like just his testosterone around like nobody's business.
Oh my
like,
God.
It's a vastly underestimated part of him. Like he could be the orderly in Magnolia, or he could be Brent or whoever in Boogie Nights. He's very sensitive and whatever.
Scotty.
Yeah. But he could
and
be.
And then in Charlie Wilson's War, when he's like, I'm a Greek soda pop maker. He's like,
they don't want to kill me because I'm the son of a Greek soda pop maker. They want to kill me because I'm a spy.
Fucking spy.
Fucking spy.
Yeah. That's good. Punch Drunk Love or Devil Knows You're Dead. Like that guy.
No,
even as almost famous, he literally has like two scenes on a phone, and he's just the best part of that entire movie.
Yeah,
no, I there was a few years ago I was putting on some weight for whatever reason, and there was
a part.
That's exactly what it was. But there was a moment where I was like, should I lose the weight or should I just gain more and really commit to it and learn to stand with my belly out and do the Philip Seymour Hoffman like physically, because he always had like his hand at his waist.
He wielded it.
There's like and I was like, what if you just gain more weight and just command that authority like Philip Seymour Hoffman, and like maybe that's better.
Well, it's definitely a better way to live your life, right? Like you're a Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I would love
you're
to
doing
what
heroin.
Are you gonna do either way? What are you gonna do? You're gonna fucking be the baddest Philip Seymour Hoffman possible.
Yeah. Well, because Philip Seymour Hoffman was convincing as like a senator and a baseball coach and
Capote.
Literally every you just put him
he's
in anything.
So good. Yeah. Can I tell my my very first day of work ever? There's a long story I'm not going to tell, but basically I got a job on my very first job in the industry on Bored to Death on HBO as an intern in the art department, and go to my first day of work, and we were at Greenpoint Stages, and it's much smaller there in terms of like the footprint and the, you know, how it compared to like being on the studio lots here. But you walk in, there's like a shared foyer, and there's a stage on each side, and then there was a staircase straight ahead that goes up four stories. And so art department and wardrobe, we shared the top floor. So I remember my first day, it was like 10 a.m., and we had one stage, and then there were a couple indie movies that were coming in on the other side, so they would just rotate out. But first day, my boss says to me, hey, can you run this package down the street, drop it in the UPS box? So I go down the stairs, the four flights, I walk down, and our stage was, I think, filming, or maybe they weren't there that day, but the other stage, which was this tiny little indie film, the light goes off, the red light, and the door opens, the whole crew, you know, comes out, they're doing they're setting up the next shot, everyone's taking a smoke break, and suddenly it's like a bunch of people, and I kind of walk, and I remember just sort of like looking around, and then I ran into somebody, and I turned around, and it was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, wow.
And it was Jacko's Boating.
Oh. And he directed that one, yeah.
He was like, where, you know, he had his long wig on. And I turned around and I go, I'm sorry. And I looked at him and I was like, oh. And he's like, he had an unlit cigarette in his hand. And he was like, hey, it's cool.
Hey, it's cool. Oh. You know?
And then,
that's how he would say it too.
Yeah. And then I,
like, hey, it's cool.
Everyone's was sort of go, you know, going outside and the whatever. I walk out, I go take the, you know, put the package in the mail, come back, and he's smoking with like a PA.
Mm-hmm.
Like just on the side of the building, just hanging out. This is like 2009.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm jealous.
Yeah. But I was like, that was my first day, and I was like, oh my God, I love show business.
Yeah, the industry is amazing.
Because I was so, when Capote came out, I remember I was in college and I saw it in the theater, and I was so, in Missouri.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed, and I was like, he's so talented. Like, I just.
No, he was the best, and he was my favorite. And it was like my dad, who's famously bad at remembering celebrities, had said to me at one point that Philip Seymour Hoffman was his favorite actor, and the fact that he could remember his name was a big deal. And then years later, my dad sat next to Philip Seymour Hoffman on an airplane, and I think I was like at work or something. I hear it, and I get a text. He's like, "I just got on the plane. I'm sitting next to Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm gonna try and tell him about you if I get a chance." And I was like,
Oh,
that's amazing. Also, don't do that. Probably. I mean, look, you know, you're an adult. You can do make choices. Yeah. But and then it was like he was flying from like Atlanta to DC
Africa
or something. It was like I knew kind of roughly how long the flight was, and so I think I was like at work, like checking my phone, and then like he gets the thing. He's like, just landed. Really nice guy. Kept to himself. I knew not to bother him, but you know, he took his headphones off at the end and we had a little chit chat. Seemed like a nice guy. I didn't tell him about you. I was like, great. Probably for the best. I'll meet him on my own one day, Dad, you know, and then didn't get to do that. But
when my dad came to visit the set of my movie that was shooting, he ran into Ernie Hudson at Baggage Claim and apparently proceeded to tell him about the movie.
And that just spoiled the whole trip. Like your movie was like bullshit compared to meeting Ernie Hudson at the airport. Probably.
I mean, I can only imagine Ernie Hudson was like, good luck to him. You know, what is this? Like, I'm getting my bag and this dude with a big white beard comes up to me. He's like, listen, my son's shooting a movie.
You need to hear me say this.
You're not cast.
You were in Ghostbusters.
There's some sort of validation to be had here.
I need you to acknowledge me.
Oh.
And my son.
Love you, Dad.
Okay, so wait, where were we?
Well, I think we were going to do Haunted by Brad.
Okay.
Yes.
Or am I bullying you into this one?
No, I love it. I want this. I want to hear your...
All right.
So should I read the post?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this was a thing that was on the internet... it went around in meme form for a little while. It was like a tweet that someone did. I did a bunch more research on it, but I'm going to read. So it was a screen grab of an Instagram post, and it's a picture of a sort of Kim Kardashian looking kind of like sexy woman in her 20s probably, and an older sort of lecherous looking man is the photo. And the caption from the woman who posted it, who's the woman in the photo, she says, exactly 1 year ago, my sugar daddy, Brad, passed away. He was 47 and died because of a heart attack and untreated diabetes. We had an incredibly toxic relationship, and ultimately, I wish I never met him. As horrible as he was, I am sitting here and trying to dig up a good memory to remember him on this day. So here it is. I kind of wish you were reading this, actually.
I've read this before.
But I wish you were reading it out loud in character.
I'll take over.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's, so the point of the memory. Like midway down.
So here it is. Brad, you brought me my first pair of Louis Vuittons, my first Birkin, Hermes, and my first and only my first and only racehorse. You understood the value of my time, and for that I honor you with my time today by making this post for you. I still don't forgive you for taking me out me out of the will after you attacked me while you were on whippets. However,
it gets back to a core question we had earlier today about
you knew I would always be okay. And yes, I've been living a double life this whole time with the guy that you thought was my gay husband, my gay bodyguard. And I'm also an author and serial entrepreneur. So let's call it even. I will finally visit you one of these days. Rest in peace. P.S. Please don't haunt me again. Demanda.
So there's more going on in that
caption
than most movies could possibly contain. There's like more, like she. I mean, it's kind of amazing writing. It's a poem, really. I mean, like the hints at all of the different things that the experiences these two people had together, her complex series of feelings for him, you know, and then the implication at the end that he haunts her, which is literal. There's YouTube videos of this. So a little backstory. I started looking up because I was like, well, what the fuck is this? And this woman is very active on social media. I forget what her name is. So she tells the story of being haunted by her sugar daddy, which is what she's referring to there. This guy died and she believes his ghost was haunting her. And so that post of like, don't haunt me again. And that was why the title that I came up with for just to talk about how we would turn this into a movie or what this movie would be like, or just as a discussion point, I called it Haunted by Brad, which I think is a really funny title for a movie anyways. And we could talk about that separately, but Haunted by Brad.
I kind of see it as a Death Becomes Her sort of thing.
Okay, explain that.
I don't have any specific corollaries, but the tone of Death Becomes Her is very, in a weird way, this movie would benefit from feeling too safe in some ways. If you got into the sort of Harmony Korine version of this as this horrible Florida story, it would be
which is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it would be so grotesque that it's sort of hard to sort of keep.
Is it Lonely Island?
Oh, Mr. Lonely.
Mr. Lonely, sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mr. Lonely. Yeah.
That came up in conversation I was in yesterday. Literally.
It's so sad.
I never saw it, and that's I literally said to my friend, I've seen every one of Harmony's other movies. Yeah, and my friend was like, "You never saw that?" I was like, "Yeah, it just looked really sad."
Well, I haven't seen that. Yeah.
Because it's just it's like all these impersonators live on island, and you know, people like kill themselves and shit. It's like
It seems depressing. I mean, I love his. I'll see it at some point.
He's great anyway.
It'd be great if Harmony Korine like switched lanes and was like, you know what? Oh man.
Did you see the poster for the Beach Bum movie?
No, but if he just literally decided to start making, you know, Nancy Myers movies, he's like, look, I take refuge. You know, like I've done my time as Harmony Korine. Now I like kitchens and just like mild conflict. Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel like he changed lanes a lot with just doing like more like a.
Oh, no. I know.
So I'm
in a weird way, I'm doing the whole romantic comedy to horror pivot thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, he could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were saying that he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, maybe not.
Anyway.
Thinking about Haunted by Brad, and you were saying not doing just like a trashy, like that's what that post suggests. I mean, it's like just rich people decadence.
Yeah. I feel like you don't do the Ryan Murphy version of it. I feel like because
it's a good reference too.
The real sort of version of this, the real story, is sleazy and ugly and garish. And I feel like, but it's real life sleazy, ugly and garish. So I think that like just taking it up a tick into an elevated territory won't actually serve it. You know, like if you make it this really sweaty sort of almost corpulent look at this, you know, an infected relationship, I think that you almost pull back a little bit and you take a look at sort of the archetypes that are involved with each other and how those react against each other. And you make it this, almost sort of studied, not studied, but sort of removed 90s version, like War of the Roses Death Becomes Her is hardly like removed, but it's
so good
about reincarnation. It's a wonderful, it's an amazing movie. But something that actually had that sort of perspective or point of view.
Well, but the haunting part, like, is that, are you describing like the concept of like the relationship between the woman and her sugar daddy, which was covered in the previous episode, Kate?
So I would suggest not treating it as a Conjuring-esque haunting at all, right?
Yeah.
Because you've seen this guy. Like, you,
uh-huh.
it's not scary. Like he's
so you still have him die like halfway through the movie and be a ghost.
But the guy is so Cabo Wabo that like you have to treat it like, you know, Chevy, you know, like someone is popping up in Nothing But Trouble or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's not.
Yeah, there's no way to make it like actually scary.
Yeah.
Wait, so what are the movie comps then? Like tonally.
Witches of Eastwick.
Maybe a little bit of that, yeah. I don't know. What else is going on there? There's a not Outrageous Fortune. That's a bad movie.
Outrageous Fortune. I don't know.
Oh my god, it's a movie where
Did you say Outrageous Foreskin?
That's like an Adam Sandler comedy.
All right, so we're pivoting. We're pivoting really hard right now into Outrageous Foreskin.
He's tripping over it.
He's a baby.
Oh my god.
A baby's the first time he walks, he trips over his own foreskin.
God damn it. You think I learned after 38 years of this
outrageous foreskin?
My own dick following me everywhere.
Because he doesn't have a big dick, he just has an enormous foreskin.
Yeah.
Or you just go, you lean hard into like the Look Who's Talking era, and you're just like, the dick has a void, like the dick foreskin.
You're like, look, you know those movies where the chick has a tail? And
yeah.
This guy has a foreskin.
An outrageous.
Wait, what did you actually say? Outrageous force?
Fortune.
Fortune.
Outrageous force.
Outrageous fortunate foreskin.
In the 80s, the polyamorists had a ball with their new movie, Outrageous Foursome.
Isn't that Bob Carroll, Ted Nallis or something?
This is like you with the organ pitch, the organist pitch. It's like the outrageous... The outrageous, fortunate, foreskin, foursome.
Yeah, we need to just have Evan on like every three episodes to give us the multiplied version of everyone. Just like you listen to all of them, and then we'll have you on to just like to go like, well, here's how I'm going to combine all of them into one extra ridiculous idea. And
listen, that was a good episode you did.
Right? Actually,
but he is the money maker. Yeah.
Daddy's Princess.
Yeah, you haven't heard Daddy's Princess yet, have you? Yeah.
But the first pitch about the fathers like being like their daughter's boyfriends could be movie one, and then movie two is that he's like, fuck it, I guess I'm just gonna turn gay, and then he just goes and he's a daddy for the rest of his years.
Oh yeah, just tie
yeah.
Exactly. Look. We can be together all night because I got lots of layers.
Is this the foreskin?
Foreskin, yeah. Yep.
You're miming like you're sort of like a whip, like a lasso. Or
that's how outrageous the foreskin is.
It's so outrageous. No, he goes like this. He's just like
a scarf. It's like a leather scarf.
Give me a minute.
Kids that was me heaving it over her back in a fireman's throw.
Yeah, foreskin.
I like the way that we're miming it in a way that both of us are acting as though it's heavy, but weightless at the same time. Because we're reaching down real low, like we got this foreskin.
Over our shoulder.
It's gonna fly us over our shoulder like a kite.
Yeah.
Good God.
Just really close her down.
It's like one of those blankets that's weighted.
Yeah. Any good part needs to be lubricated to move.
Wow, this really just. I mean, this is the longest. Yeah. This is like what happens when you go as long as we've gone for this.
I feel like people can tell with my laughter where I was gonna go with it, and they don't need to hear it from my mouth.
Yeah. I mean, Outrageous Foreskin was really just a gift, if you want.
Yeah.
I feel like this conversation has a good mouthfeel.
Oh my gosh, I can't get into the mouthfeel.
That was a payoff.
Yeah, it was a payoff. This has been Cahoots.
I think we landed.
And Evan is out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks guys for listening. And thank you to Evan for coming
on.
Thank
you, Evan.
Being our first guest.
Thank you, guys. I had a lot of fun. This was like the time literally flew by in a way that it hasn't for me in many years.
We took one bathroom break and he goes, oh my God.
Yeah, it's been almost 2 hours. Yeah.
3 hours.
Well, not recording.
Listen, there's
it's
a lot
almost
of.
11.
Listen, if we die, you guys are going to have to go on a search for the lost tapes.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank
you. Our password is beep.
Email us, tweet at us, do something, contact us.
Toodles. Cahoots.
Bye.